Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is Friday. That means we're being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. It's time to go. And you're going to love every second of it. Many more items there than just beverages.
I think the pickles and olives are coming back, too.
I know. You told me. But again, I think the important part of all that is that the beverage supermarket has everything. Indeed, everything. So stop there, and we're looking forward to hearing from Joe Susan this hour. Okay, and so that'll be something we're looking forward to as well. Kevin, he always likes talking to you. I do believe. And again, our number 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565.
By the way, there is a rumor going around that the Shikimi-Lewisburg game has been postponed. That is not the case. Let me put it to you this way. I will be there tonight for a 6:30 airtime. If you can't make it to the game, you're more than welcome to tune it in on WKOK or on WKOK.com. 6:30 airtime tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff.
Is a rumor going around that it's...
Well, that's because there were two things that happened. Today was the funeral for Travis Tillett, who was lost last week in the car accident.
And
they played on Friday.
And the deepest condolences, by the way, to that wonderful family.
Absolutely. And the second reason is because they played on Monday night. The quick turnaround, but it is not the case. There is a game tonight, and well, at least I plan on calling something. It might be, open field and nobody doing anything, but I'll be there at 6:30.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're looking forward to that tonight. Another big night of high school football. It's just something so special about Pennsylvania on a Friday night in the fall. I mean, I know tomorrow's the official first day of fall. So I guess it's the last day of summer. But look, Labor Day rolls around. As far as we're concerned, it's fall.
I was asked a couple of times, when am I going to pull out with the color leaves changing and the colors of autumn?
Oh, boy.
Well, every
you're
autumn.
You're one of those.
Yes,
huh?
I am. Every autumn, I get a little John Facenda in me and feel the need to be poetic.
Really?
Yeah, why not? I told you, I loved guys like Jim Nance and Jim McKay, because they were able to really set a scene and really paint a nice little picture to start a broadcast.
Right. I understand that. I understand. That's I'm not as poetic as those guys.
Neither am I. I just try to be.
Yeah, I'm just not as poetic as those guys are. And so I don't do the fancy opens and things like that. I try to get to it, the other part too is I don't write opens either. That of course drives you nuts.
There's a lot of things that drive me nuts, but
that drives you nuts. I don't write the opens, do.
Well, I'll tell you this: for those that did not hear the basketball open you did when Joe passed, that was phenomenal.
Well, thanks. That was not easy because of
absolutely
only 2 hours later. But no, I did not write that.
And that when I found that out. That made it one step above phenomenal, but I'm not sure where that is.
It made you angry.
No, not angry. Amen. Just wishing that was an ability that I had.
Bitter.
So I always write my... I do have a tendency to write it out.
No, I don't.
Just for notes, if nothing else.
You know. There's no particular reason why I don't. I just don't. Yeah, you know, I mean, I've had, you know. And now this will really make you mad. I really don't think about it too much until they look at me and say, okay, it's time to do it.
Oh, no, that I believe. I've seen you. All right, it's like 3, 2, and you're having a conversation with Jack about, I don't know, Perrier or something, and all of a sudden, 1, welcome. It's like, you got to be kidding me. It's remember the ABC show Sports Night?
Yes.
I love Peter
Krause, yeah.
I love that
Felicity
show.
Felicity Huffman.
Yep. I absolutely love that show. It was very much like that. There's like 6 conversations going on in the booth, and there's poor Roger counting down, assuming nobody's listening to him anyway, counting down to the start of the broadcast, and bang, there it is. All the conversations stop at 1, and everybody changes gears.
We're having a good time. Can I say? We have, legitimately, have a good time up there. I mean, we really do. And you know, you've been up there.
No, it comes across that way too.
Yeah, but I mean, we have a good time up there. Look, we know we have great jobs. I mean, we know that. We know we have great jobs. So, I mean, we, you know, might as well enjoy it. I don't know why I don't write it out. I don't feel a need to write it out. You know, I think part of it is when you've been to practice all week and you've sort of lived it all week and so forth. You know what I mean? You know, I'm at practice 4 days a week. There's a press conference, although I listen to it now. I don't go because I have to be someplace at 1 o'clock. But I have that. Then I have quarterback club with Bill on Wednesday, and then I have Bill on the talk show, and Bill and the players. I usually have an assistant coach, 2 players, and Bill on Wednesday to talk with a quarterback club. Then I have Bill on the talk show on Thursday night. I think by the time I get there, you know what I mean? I've already seen and been there and done that. Now Bob Buehner, on the other hand.
Who, by the way, I spent Friday night with.
Well, a privilege for you, Kevin.
Steve, I have to tell you about last Friday night. I made a serious mistake. I drove over to the Danville-Shamokin game at Shamokin, wandered aimlessly through the crowd, decided to sit down next to Kevin Herr, and for 4 quarters, I was the pierogi boy.
You're kidding
the
me.
The pierogi boy. No, you were listening to me going to my son. Now watch, when they run this play, this is where they're moving. So you know Thursday night what's coming.
And then he would say, hey, Bob, are you going to the concession stand? Could you pick me up some pierogi?
Can you grab something while you're there for me?
So we had actually, Kevin and I had a great Friday night, last Friday night, because, of course, he had the night off because of the postponement of the Shikellamy game. Steve, I wanted to compliment you on the closing of the Penn State-Navy game where the Penn State players went down to the Navy end of the end of the stadium and stood with the Naval Academy guys and then came back down to the other end, and you just let the eloquence of the singing and the moment just come across so clearly on the radio. It was just spectacular.
Well, thanks. Sometimes the best thing is to say nothing and let them do it. And it was the classiest show of sportsmanship I may have seen in my career, from Navy, from Penn State, from the fans. I kind of stood back and looked at it in awe as to what I was watching. I thought it was that classy and what you would hope intercollegiate athletics is about.
And listening to it on the radio, I think the picture you painted and then just allowed the crowd to take over really made it that much better. If you're a radio guy like I am, and enjoy listening to it and then having your own imagination. I've seen the midshipmen and the cadets come down to Bucknell for basketball and Patriot League events, and, you know, we have to give them all the credit in the world for the dedication they have, not just to the country, but to their military academy, and they're just wonderful representatives of the United States. And for Penn State to stand out there and recognize and acknowledge that, absolutely, Steve, you were so right. It was a special moment.
It was a special moment, and it started with P.J. Byers running out with the American flag, the F-18 Hornets flying over Beaver Stadium. Jack made a joke before the game. He looked at me and says, gee, I went on the USO tour, he said, with the NFL a long time ago. He says, you know what's really bad? I said, what's that? I said, when I went, they were F-14s. And I said, don't feel bad, Jack. I said, the first flyover I ever saw was done by the Wright brothers. So,
well, I've seen a few, Zeppelins go over the stadiums in my day, too.
Yeah, that's right.
But exactly, I thought that was right. A really classy moment. And, nice. Those moments, just pick a sport, are few and far between.
And I've had a better appreciation for the Naval Academy in all my conversations with Ed DeCellis.
Sure.
Because he's been able to give me some insight. And I told the story last week on the show, and I'll retell it now, that one day he's at basketball practice, and he only gets 2 hours with them. He gets 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night. That's what he gets at the U.S. Naval Academy. And one day he goes to start practice, and one of his kids shows up in practice soaking wet. I mean, I'm talking head to toe soaking wet. He looks at me and says, what's your deal? He says, I've been in the river for the last 4 hours doing SEAL maneuvers.
Yeah, there's in the Naval Academies, I've had the privilege of knowing one of the first captains of the Corps of Cadets, who is a boy named Doug McCormick, who grew up in Bloomsburg, and his father was president of Bloomsburg University. And inside the academy, it's the Rangers versus the infantry up at West Point, and it's the Marines versus the Swabbies, the ship guys, down at the Naval Academy. And there's just this intense rivalry back and forth. And they don't let that show outside, but back in the academy, the guys that are going to be the SEALs and the Marines, they let the guys that are going to be the admirals and run the boats, they let them know about it.
Yeah.
So just one of those little anecdotes that you told that I think it illustrates the seriousness of their mission, and that playing football is something they love to do, but that's not the primary mission on a Saturday. The primary mission is leadership and development of leadership and all of the things that go with that.
Yeah, no question. And you see it, and you saw it at the end of the game, marching down to the end zone. Navy band sitting there, incredible. And both teams, hands over their hearts, then together walking to the other end for the Penn State alma mater, which for the first time was ever sung in the stadium by a football team. I thought it was just one of those magic moments that you can't script.
Right. It's just spontaneity, and I think you as the broadcaster just let that take over, and it's a beautiful picture of in your mind as you're driving along listening to the end of the game broadcast that you made.
So, Mike, I appreciate it.
Congratulations to you. I realize this. I'm never going to another game when Kevin has an off night for the fear that I might run into him in the bleachers and be ferrying Halushki to him quarter by quarter.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Bob. I mean, I've known you for a long time. You're one of my truly good friends, and I think you've suffered enough.
Yeah. And Steve, the other thing I wanted to talk about on going back to sports for just a second.
Please.
My good friends up at Bloomsburg University, the football team up there, is not doing bad. 3-0. I think they're 12th in Division II.
I think we need to do something about that on this show. You know that?
I think we can arrange something for that. But Danny Hale, in his 20th year, one of 5 active coaches in Division II with 200 wins. Yeah. No-nonsense guy, but a fantastic coach, great motivator. And, he's put a few guys in the NFL, and he's got a great program.
He does have a great program.
Highest-paid interior lineman in the NFL, Jari Evans, out of Philadelphia and Bloomsburg University. All-rookie team, all-pro team, and I think he's got a Super Bowl ring.
Indeed he does, and he's a Bloomsburg Husky.
Yep, and we've had the Bob Tucker of the 1960s mm-hmm. with Fran Tarkenton.
But led the NFL in receiving. Led the NFL in receiving in 1972.
And we're number 38 on your program and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, really amazing guy. And there's been a few more along the way that have made it to the NFL. But it's great, exciting football, you know, in a relative sense. Division II, certainly not Division I. But when they go out and they line up toe-to-toe with another great Division II football team, it's just great football. And yeah. it's just not far away from the Sunbury Motor Studios and all of the sponsors in this area, just not far away from them.
Right. And on top of that, we'll make getting Danny Hale on a priority, and Bloomsburg holds a special spot for me, and here's the reason why. The famous Penn State 48-14 win over Pitt.
Yes.
Fran Fischer, this is 1981, is broadcasting that game. He knows he can't make it back in time to do Penn State basketball that night. So Fran calls me up, and he asked me to fill in for him. And that was my first appearance on the Penn State Sports Network, Penn State against Bloomsburg in basketball.
Was Dick Harder the coach for Penn State?
Dick Harder and Charlie Chronister was the head coach at Bloomsburg. Penn State won the game 48-47.
With a tip-in with almost no time left on the clock. We still talk about that in Bloomsburg, and we wonder about the timekeeper at Penn State. But that's a story for another day. But
another
I remember
day,
that. Pardon?
That was my first game ever on the Penn State Sports Network.
And actually, back in that year, the Huskies basketball team was really up at the top of Division II. And, you know, judging even by the score with Penn State, a very competitive team. And well-coached by Charlie Chronister.
Yep.
So not a bad little program. And, you know, there's plenty of kids on the football team from the Central Susquehanna Valley. The quarterback's coach right now, Jack Leidick, Selinsgrove Grove High grad, three-year starter for the Huskies. They've had a number of players come over from Southern Columbia, Berwick, Danville, Chickalimmy, centers from Mount Carmel this year. So, yeah, really representative of not just northeastern Pennsylvania, but a lot of the Central Susquehanna Valley players have done very well at Bloomsburg over the years.
Bob, always appreciate it. As you know how things go, we've got a heartbreak coming up, and we're going to take that. So, great talking with him. Let's get that Danny Hale thing going and get him on the air, because obviously Bloom is off to a great start.
All right. Take care, Kevin. I'll bring the pierogies.
Sounds great. I'll even share some this time.
Okay. Bye.
We'll come back. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, from the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Let It Be Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Brewers Outlet Sunbury has all your football tailgating supplies. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And don't forget plenty of beer. Choose from a huge selection of imports and microbrews. Check out their incredible deals. They have everything that comes together to make a great beverage shoppable store. Then there's the fresh roasted peanuts daily and the Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the cooler weather. And don't forget the beer.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them, and you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back. We actually, you know, an email I did not get to yesterday from Jack and Maria. Jack and Maria sent this. Hi, Steve and Kevin. Just wondering if any of the guys attempting a landed spot in the roster as run-ons made a positive impression last week, in particular being from Danville. How about a kid named Dylan Friday who's planning to run on as a kicker? I remember him being very solid in high school. Would these kids have to wait until next year to play? They do not have to wait until next year to play. That once they're part of the roster this year, they can play now. Now, I do not know yet who they've decided to go with out of that run-on tryout. Okay? So, as of last night, Bill, they had not made a decision as to what to do with that.
Now, is there a limit what they can do, or?
No. They can take 50 guys if they want.
Okay.
I mean, but you don't want to because you don't want to be pushing the male numbers. All right? So, you may take one or two because, again, you have to think about proposition about Title IX.
Right.
So you can't be taking too many numbers out of something like that because Title IX enters into the discussion. So they have not made any decision yet that I know of on players and adding them. Also, in regard to your discussion with the Big East, I remember Joe advocated for this years ago. Can you discuss the details? What were his ideas? Why a no-go apart from the obvious lack of vision? Thanks. Enjoying the show, Jack. All right. Joe Wunderforman, I'll do this quickly. Joe Wunderforman, All Sports Eastern Conference, Pitt, Temple, Penn State, Syracuse, Boston College, Rutgers, West Virginia. He was trying to lure Maryland into it at the time. This was 1981. The Big East was in basketball at the time, and Boston College and Syracuse were both in it. Boston College and Syracuse decided that the future of the East was to have independent football and Big East basketball. They then talked to Pitt and lured Pitt into the Big East to play basketball. Penn State was left on the outside looking in. So that's his idea, and that's how it fell apart.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's great to be with you on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They literally have it all there. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. By the way, just a couple quick notes. By the way, we're still waiting for Ken and Milton to come in, call in with his high school picks of the week. Got a little dry there on that. Let's see. If you're wondering about two of the key guys that left, Silas Red, 37 carries, 180 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4.9 yards a carry, 60 yards rushing per game. Justin Brown at Oklahoma, so far, 6 catches for 87 yards and no touchdowns. I know some people have mentioned that Allen Robinson already has more touchdowns this season than Justin had in his career. That is an accurate statement. But in case you're wondering about numbers of former players, that's what they've come up with. Okay? Yeah, I try to stay out of such things for the most part, but I know they are the one thing at USC they are not happy about. They are not happy with Silas Red's protection.
They're not happy about losing last week either.
Well, no, but that entered into it, the lack of protection for Matt Barkley. They said that Silas really struggled last week on it, and it hurt them, because they couldn't put the other kid in, McNeil. McNeil got hurt. So when they wanted to keep it back in, it had to be him. And how many times have I pointed out on this show, even before he transferred, what did I say was the number one thing he had to work on?
I don't remember what you did say on that one.
Say he needed to work up blitz pickup, and that he was really conscientiously working hard to be a better receiver, because getting him out in space, he's going to be fabulous once that happens. But the blitz pickup part was never his forte here. And for USC, it came to fruition. So, and You know, obviously, those are the two guys that are playing. After that, you know, I mean, nobody else has done anything. I mean, Kyrie Fort's done a couple things. And Kevin Hapley hasn't done anything at Florida State. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm just explaining, you know, and of course, and Buckley's not going to do anything at NC State either. It's just the way it is. So, and it's just not, I mean, Red's a big loss, but everything else, you know, Fair, obviously Fair. I mean, Farrow's hurt, by the way. That's why he has no stats at Texas. He got hurt. You know, you don't want to see that happen. So, I don't think Hapley's caught a pass, has he, at Florida State? Let's see. Stats, Florida State. Let's see here. Just want to take a quick look at it and see. Passing, manual, rushing, receiving. Hapley has one catch for 3 yards. Oh, well. All right. Let's go to Dick in Milton. How are you today, Dick?
I'm fine. Thanks, Steve. Hey, just a quick question.
It's great to hear you.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said it's great to hear from you.
Yeah, hey, I haven't listened as often as I should have, and maybe you covered this and maybe you didn't. At last week's game, and I just was kind of curious why Coach O'Brien never got his backup quarterback into the game at all. It seemed to me that with 100,000 people roughly there in that kind of an atmosphere and a 30-point lead, it seemed like a good time to get him in for a few series.
Dick, that's a good question, and I think part of this is, as I think Bill looked at it as there aren't many possessions in the game, and I think he wanted Matt McGloin to finish it out. And I think he wanted the thrill of those guys to have the thrill of being on the field when they finished it out. And bench got a lot of work against Virginia the week before, on the road, no less. There'll be other spots to put him in. Bill just didn't feel like this was a spot he wanted to put him in. He wanted to see, let the veteran guys finish it out, get that win, get that feeling, go from there. I think that had a lot to do with that decision. Right there. Playing a series against Navy, will it help him down the road? Probably not, because Penn State would just want to run the football at that point. But the significant work he got against Virginia when the game was on the line certainly was important work for him. But I know why you asked the question. A lot of people have asked that question. But I think in this particular circumstance, trying to get that first win, I think you wanted the veterans out there who worked so hard to really enjoy it.
Yeah, it just kind of amazed me a little bit. I mean, obviously he coaches and puts in the personnel he wants. And man, I know this is going to sound a little strange, but I had this theory. You know, if you go to an NFL game, coaches are used to having one quarterback play a whole football game, and I hope that wasn't his mindset. I can't imagine so, but you know, I don't know what they think.
It was interesting because last night the Giants put a huge lead up on Carolina.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting last night, David Carr got in the game in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's not real common in an NFL game that they put a second-string quarterback. Navy played three quarterbacks last week.
They did, but they needed to play three quarterbacks. They were trying to find a combination.
Right.
They were trying to find something. Penn State already had found what they wanted.
It just seemed odd to me, I don't mean to be hypercritical about it. I look at a big crowd and I'm thinking, it might be a good chance for a kid to get out there in front of that many people, because you just never know where the next step, next play, he might be required to be out there. That was my only thing. So.
Yeah, no. You're trying to develop a backup quarterback. Yeah. I'll tell you this though, one thing I think that the fans and the media make a mistake with sometimes. And it's not in this case, okay? But there are a lot of people like, well, you know, play him because you got to think about the future. Coaches are thinking about the now. He's not thinking about 2013, most coaches think 2013 will take care of itself. If he can get him in there at some point down the road, I'm sure he will, because obviously when he had to go in against Virginia, he stepped in. And I'll be honest with you, I thought he did a pretty good job, especially considering he had only run the two-minute drill a couple times during the course of the preseason. And you make an interesting point, Dick, about NFL coaches. The only time that they really play the backup quarterback is starter gets hurt or late in the season. And again, we're getting ready for the playoffs, and we'll play him a series or two, and then we're going to let the backup quarterback. Those are the only times they play outside of preseason games in the NFL. Eli Manning took every snap of every game last year for the Giants.
Right,
that's why.
That. Yeah.
That's why when he came out last night and Carr came in, he went, whoa, that's different.
Well, let's get number two tomorrow, and if nothing else, there'll be at least one person there.
I think there'll be probably 100,000 people there tomorrow. Hopefully the weather will hold up.
I was only counting myself.
Well, we count on you, Dick.
Okay, good luck.
I know I do. Hey, great call. That's a really good question you asked. Really good. Yep. And Bill did address it last night on the talk show with Damon's. So what do you think about tonight's high school games, Kevin?
Well, you know, if I had the thing that we always talk about, what game would you go to if you had to go to any game? I think I would attend Central Columbia Milton tonight. Central Columbia comes in with a 3-0 record. They played a lot of young kids all the last several seasons. They're starting to come into their own. Coach Jason Hippensteel's done a great job there. Matter of fact, and I do know him, I mean, personally, and I've never seen him so excited to start a season as he was this year. And Milton has played very well as of late. I thought the first game of the season, which they lost to Danville, I thought they played very well. They just turned the ball over and committed too many penalties in the red zone that kind of cost them the ball game. And I think their defense kind of let them down just a little bit in that game. So I think that could be an interesting matchup tonight. Mifflinburg is desperate for a win right now. I mean, without Wyand, they have been just very one-dimensional with Kyle Failer, their quarterback, leading the way. Danville has run the ball very, very well. Did not play a stellar game last week against Shamokin, but hung in there and played well enough to win, and their defense gave them opportunities with some turnovers. They created some turnovers in the red zone. So I think Danville-Mifflinburg is another one of those interesting games, but I think Danville, you know, has a little bit much for Mifflinburg right now. Although, like I said, if Mifflinburg gets a win, that could turn their whole season around just in time to get on a playoff run, because that's what they're thinking about right now in this part of the season. We've got to win games if we want to make the playoffs.
Exactly. It's one thing, you have limited opportunities, and there are fewer opportunities. Let's take Bill O'Brien, for example. Bill O'Brien last year coached 23 football games. Do you realize that?
Four preseason games, too.
Three postseason games and 16 regular season games. He coached 23 games last year. He's only coaching half the games this year that he coached last year, 12. In high school football, you get 10 shots. That's why every week is as important as Kevin talks about.
Well, it's just like in college. You have to be a certain record to qualify for some bowls. Same thing for high school playoffs.
So that's what, you know, so that's why they're so few and far between. And, of course, now you have Schick and Lewisburg tonight.
Yeah, Shikalimi's coming off of a short week.
But this is the Todd Tilford reunion.
Yes, that is. A new coach, Jeremy Wynn, who comes from originally from Danville and then went as offensive coordinator at Bloomsburg and had a lot of success with Rankin there at quarterback. Now he brings his little, different elements to the wing tee that they've been running in Lewisburg. A lot of talent in Lewisburg. Then Coach Todd Tilford goes over to Shikalimi. He knows exactly what he's going up against tonight. He knows the talent that Lewisburg has. But I think the big story here is the fact that it's a short week. And it'll be interesting to see how Shikalimi bounces back, if they are able to bounce back after what was just a heartbreaking, devastating loss to Selins Grove on Monday night. Now, Selins Grove, on the other hand, has a short week as well, and they have a big league game. They take on Shamokin at Kent Memorial Stadium tonight. And as I said, I thought Shamokin played pretty well. Turned the ball over a little bit too much against Danville, and it kind of cost them the game there. A couple of big penalties, too, really hurt Shamokin. But Selins Grove's coming off of a very short week. However, they looked really good against Shikalimi, and I said on the pregame, I said the team that really finds the passing game, I think, wins this, and Selins Grove found it quicker.
Well, one thing, too, Selins Grove plays who tonight?
Shamokin.
Yeah, they played Shamokin last year, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is that when you get into the high school mode, all right, and you have a short week, look, you already have a handle on most of their personnel because you played them before. You know, people may get better, but you still know that left tackle and what that left tackle's tendencies have been. Has it? You looked at the tape. Have they improved? Yes, no, maybe, you know. So you at least have a handle. So the short week is not as destructive as some people think it is to preparation.
Well, and, you know, you make a very good point there. And as I said, Todd Tilford knows very well what he has at Lewisburg. Now, Shikellamy and Lewisburg, and I've done the research on this, I cannot find a game where these two teams have ever played. So this could very well be the first game between Shikellamy and Lewisburg. However, Todd Tilford coming out from Lewisburg knows exactly what the players are in the skills positions, knows their skill set, knows their strengths and weaknesses. So it's almost like he has had an opportunity to look back at last year.
So we work our way, and again, it's a 7 o'clock kick tonight between Lewisburg and Shikellamy. You'll hear it right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And if you're a fan of the Green Dragons, you can listen on 100.9 The Valley and get the Lewisburg side of things.
Exactly.
We've got everything covered now.
We'll come back to close it out for the week on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Break dancing in the studio. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket. Reagan Street in Sunbury. You name the beverage, they have it. And by the way, much more than just beverages. I love stopping there. Great place. And also, we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And very briefly, in the final couple minutes here, we have Joe Susan with us. First home game in 11 months for Bucknell at Mathewson Stadium. Joe, how's it going to feel just to be back in the home confines to actually play a game?
Well, it's unique, Steve, in that you kind of get used to the format of being on the road. But there's something to be said about dressing in your own locker room. Usually visiting locker rooms aren't the most spacious places in the world. And, you know, I wish I could say it's great for the kids to sleep in their own beds, but we really don't have the ability to take them off campus here. So sometimes I cringe when I send them back to bed at night and know that they're pretty good. But, you know, on a college campus on a Friday, there is some noise.
Yeah, there is some noise. William and Mary took Maryland to the wire. Maryland finally won 7-6. Lafayette then went out and beat William and Mary. And then Lafayette went out and beat Penn. How good is the football team you're playing tomorrow?
Lafayette's a very opportunistic team. They received 8 turnovers against Penn. And, you know, I know there were some turnovers. I don't know exactly the amount against William and Mary, but they're a good football team. They're playing good football. Opportunistic, obviously, and that at the end of the day against Penn, they could have had 10 turnovers because they dropped 2. But in the league, those things you set aside. William and Mary is a CAA team, as is Delaware. So when you beat when a Patriot League team beats a CAA team, it's really a positive reflection on this league. But in this league, the parity of the teams that within the league, anybody on any given Saturday can beat anybody else.
Joe, what did your team take out of the Delaware game that you'll say, okay, we can build upon that? What would that be?
They played Delaware, who was at the time ranked 13th in the country, as tough as I've seen them play. And I think that's a building block that we can really rely on as we go from week to week. And our defense, the combination of playing a number of guys on that defense front. Being able to hold Delaware to field goals, I think that's important, in that we always talk about forcing to kick a field goal in the red zone. Those are things that I think will help us along the way. Now, offensively, we've got to do a better job within the red zone, and I don't like counting by threes. I've never, you know, I'm a Delaware guy. My education probably had me counting by ones. So threes don't add up to me. I get confused when I and then you look at the I have a two-point play chart.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep going back to that. I apologize for being late today, but
Joe, you have a football game to get ready for, and we appreciate the minutes you did give us, and I want to wish you nothing but the best tomorrow. Country gets to see it on CBS Sportsnet. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Take care, Kevin.
Yep, good luck. Bye. And Kevin, of course, and Doug Bergson have it for you tomorrow. What a great week we've had. Bucknell and Penn State both playing tomorrow. A lot of high school football tonight. Enjoy.